Hey, everybody. It's time for Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bet you didn't think you'd hear from us so soon. The World Series hasn't even begun yet, although we know that, of course, the team that beat the Milwaukee Brewers in the playoffs, the Arizona Diamondbacks, will be representing the National League. As has been the case every single time the Brewers have lost in the postseason, the team that beat them is going to end the season in the World Series. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm joined by Kurt Hogue. Kurt, we have a lot. We're going to talk a lot about Craig Counsell today. There was a report that came out about Craig Counsell interviewing with the New York Mets, which some newsy angles to that. He's going to be doing that before the termination of his contract on October 31st, or termination is probably the wrong word here, just the end of it, and found that very, very interesting. First, though, World Series, Arizona Diamondbacks, Texas Rangers. Who you got, Kurt?
I want to say Texas Rangers, but...
But
pretty much every series this postseason would go the way against I predicted, so it's the Arizona Diamondbacks. Congrats on your World Series championship.
I don't understand why the Arizona Diamondbacks are still here. They won 84 games in the regular season. They did not hit home runs. Everything we're critical for about the Brewers. I mean, the two teams are like the same. Arizona is all defense, has a couple really, really good pitchers and a couple other guys. But, like, I mean, the Brewers, you would say, have better pitching on the whole, certainly from the rotation and also the bullpen. Again, they don't hit homers. They use speed.
The Diamondbacks bullpen is doing that October thing.
They are.
Where they just don't give up runs.
Right. Well, Kevin Ginkle, amazing.
The lineup hasn't even been that good. Like, who would you say had a good NLCS? Corbin Carroll didn't. He had a good game.
He had a good game.
Gurriel was all right.
One game. I mean, Carroll's been was unbelievable against the Dodgers
and
the Brewers.
Yes, but in the entire NLCS until yesterday night.
It was
Ketel Marte, yes. He was the NLCS MVP.
For some reason, his name just doesn't work for me. But Ketel Marte, he's, of course, he had a good time. But, yeah, like Brandon Pfaadt was terrible against the Brewers in game one of the wild card series. And you thought, oh, man, well, Arizona, they do have two really tough pitchers, but they don't have anybody else after that. Well, Brandon Pfaadt absolutely did his job at every point going forward here. He pitched four innings in game seven of the NLCS. I can't believe the Phillies are done, man. They were just mashing the vibes, the fans, the rhythm. Like, they were blowing people out. The only game they lost for a while there going into game three of the NLCS was because of a crazy play against Atlanta to finish. Like, they were unbelievable, and then it just went dry at once. And people who say it shouldn't be about just home runs will tell you that that's the risk you run when you hit home runs. I would push back and say, come on, it's a tiny sample. None of this is real in terms of momentum or whatever. You want people to hit home runs. But then again, Arizona Diamondbacks, they just won game seven with like some singles and some
singles and some steals.
Yeah,
and
fielder's choice.
And Ryan Thompson.
Ryan Thompson, who was released by the Tampa Bay
the
Rays.
The Rays.
Who know pitching better than anybody else on earth.
Ryan Thompson, who I definitely knew about before the wild card series.
Oh, I did know about him. I knew he was crushing it. But him, I mean, Andrew Salfrank, who had 10 big league innings in his career, is pitching. And he wasn't even good in the NLCS. So, like,
he's been good.
Yep. And Kevin Ginkle? Now, there's a name I can't say for sure I'd heard before the playoffs this year when they came
I have a really sicko Kevin Ginkle anecdote.
Is he a stinger?
No, he's not a stinger. Jacob Barnes is the shout out.
Okay.
I started Kevin Ginkle in my 2019 fantasy baseball semifinal matchup.
How are
as
you
a rookie?
Did everybody on your roster get hurt?
I didn't win, so that tells you a lot.
Yeah.
But yes, this is their bullpen. It's been really good, and it's wild, and it's kind of fun to see. But also, like, they won 84 games.
Right,
plus, they played the Brewers, and that's all you need.
There's two takeaways. You could take the Rangers approach. Yes, you should spend madly in free agency. You should completely refashion your roster with free agency, and that will take you to the postseason. In fact, you might hardly lose any games until you get to the ALCS, at which point you'll win four road games. Or you could take the Arizona approach where you don't even really need to win 90 games. You win 80 somewhere between 84 and 88. You do the bare minimum. You get in, and then just inexplicably, you know, Evan Longoria makes a couple defensive plays for you, and you just get a couple hits here, a couple hits there. I mean, outside of Corbin Carroll, he wasn't good in the NLCS. Who would you say you're afraid of when they come to the plate for the Arizona Diamondbacks?
I think if you're the Brewers, it's Christian Walker.
Well, yes, okay.
Because you never get that man out. It's
wild.
It's hard to draw any big conclusions, of course,
well,
from another playoff.
We won't.
But maybe the conclusion, once again, is You just got to get in and get hot, and that's probably it. But there is something is it ironic that it, tell me if this is irony, that the Brewers, the team that touts like more than anyone, you just got to get in, get the bites of the apple, get in and get hot. That's what we're looking for. Every year they get in more than almost anyone in baseball, and every time they get in, they run into the team that gets, just got in and got hot. Yeah. Is that ironic, or is it just a cruel, cruel twist of fate?
I think it's more a twist of fate. You know, Arizona came into the playoffs with four straight losses. They weren't playing particularly well. There was in the month of September, they had not been amazing. They had fallen from a higher perch. They were the five seed for a long time and kind of bottomed out there at the very end. There was no evidence that this was coming, especially when you figured there were two pitchers and nobody else. There was no evidence that this was coming. And that is something that teams like the Brewers are always going to hang their hat on, that there is just no logic to it. You just have to get into the playoffs. And that is why they're going to justify not spending on certain players in free agency, because all you have to do is be in the upper middle class. And yeah, you do have a shot.
Win 90 games.
Right. But then you could look at Texas, who has gone above and beyond. And granted, they've gotten some crazy good breaks. I mean, Adolis Garcia, who's the ALCS MVP, like he is a guy that was designated for assignment. It's almost an identical arc to Nelson Cruz, right down to being traded by an NL Central team and then dropped from the roster and then picked back up into a superstar status, multi-time all-star status. But, you know, it's just a completely different path. And it's going to be a weird World Series. It's weird. Arizona at this time last year was, I don't think anybody took them seriously. Like, I don't think anybody thought this is a team that can make a push next year.
You could see them in the playoffs.
Yes, maybe. Because they had, you know, some young talent.
Corbin Carroll
is, you know, he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. So it's not like he's not, I don't know, man. That's a tough one, because you feel like the Brewers are the Diamondbacks and that it could so easily be them who are in this
position. I mean, it really could have, but it just makes it remarkable all the more that they've won one playoff series.
Yes.
In these last, what, five runs to the postseason? It's very much within like the realm of possibility, I guess, when you've made the postseason five times. I mean, like the Twins lost 20 straight playoff games.
Yeah.
Stuff happens.
And then they immediately advanced, and then immediately were ousted.
Yes.
The shifts that come. So Craig Counsell, it's unclear who the Brewers manager is going to be. Now, we had talked about this last week, that his contract expires October 31st. That would theoretically be the point in time that he would be available to speak to other teams if that was what he pursued. I mean, you and I, or at least me, it's kind of been operating under the belief that he was going to step away, but not necessarily in pursuit of another job. However, Wednesday, word comes down that he is going to be interviewing with the New York Mets, that the Brewers did give permission, reportedly, to let him speak a little bit early, a week before that contract expires. So that's surprising on a couple fronts. One is, you know, Mark Adonazio kind of famously, I feel like, didn't allow David Stearns out of his contract. Now, granted, 1 week to go versus 1 year to go is a whole different set of, you know, whole different ballgame. But, you know, if he was going to be a stickler, I guess he theoretically could have been a stickler. And number two is the fact that he's talking to the New York Mets tells us he is interested in managing next year. I mean, we don't know how seriously he's interested, but that's certainly notable. So, Kurt, give me, you know, go off here. Tell me what you're thinking as this news comes across your desk and what you're thinking about it.
It's been interesting to watch this play out over the last month, because while we still don't have any concrete evidence that, like, Craig Counsell wants to go to the Mets, it's certainly on the table now, and there have been whispers sort of leading up to this over, what, the last month? It's always interesting watching things play out when the Mets are involved. The Mets, as anyone who's followed the Brewers for the last couple of years would know with the David Stern saga, the Mets leak so much information.
Yes.
So much information. And that's probably caused some bad blood with Brewers ownership as well.
Oh, I'm sure. Because the Brewers, of course, famously do keep things close to the vest.
Yes. The Mets, the David Stearns thing was – there was like five different outlets reporting it for multiple years. I mean, how many times did the New York Post or John Heyman tweet about it? And where do you think he's getting that information? Let's be frank about that. So over the last month as it's come – last month, couple of months as it's come trickling out a little more about Counsell, you start to open your eyes a little bit to it. And for sure you see that the Mets have interest in Counsell. Now we know, at least I've been told, Counsell is the Mets' top managerial candidate. if it wasn't apparent by what they're, you know, everything
yeah,
on
everything
top of that.
Seems
but
that,
to but that, that. That's been said with full confidence.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting about it to me is like, what is the? I'm trying to figure out how to word this. You look at like why the Brewers would let him do this now. Why would the Mets want to do, you know, interview him ahead of time? Why would Counsell want to be interviewed ahead of time? For Counsell, it makes some sense with like leverage. If you have interest in coming back to managing, and you want to extrapolate all the leverage you can out of the situation. Yeah, you get it out there. You talk to the Mets a little bit ahead of time. Make it known, you know, send some shockwaves through the Brewer system that, like, this is a very real thing. For the Mets, I guess the timing probably doesn't matter a whole lot.
I guess I'd feel the same way about the Brewers. Timeline doesn't matter. I mean, they have a lot of time to form a new coaching staff if that's what has
yes,
to happen.
But also – like the coaching staff thing is, I think, a wild card thing that's not really being talked about a whole lot. The Brewers have an entire staff, not entire staff. There's a few people on like multi-year contracts still left. Like I think Chris Hook is on a multi-year contract.
That would be wise.
Which is good because you don't want to lose that man.
No.
But a bunch of coaches, a bunch of staff, they're on one-year deals. And from everything I've heard, they have not been told what their status is for 2024.
Which, I mean, it makes sense because you don't know who the manager is.
It does make sense, but you're also operating in this entire state of limbo now. And as of in, 5 days from now, they'll all be free agents. They'll be able to negotiate with whomever they want. If they don't know who the manager is going to be, you know, there's not a whole ton of reason to wait around on Milwaukee if they're not – if they didn't give you any assurance that you'll be there beyond a year. And there is a world too, right, in which the Brewers, if they want a guy back on the coaching staff, extend a contract and it could be a precondition of the new manager returning. And then there's also – this. I don't know if this is inferring a little too much or like a little too tinfoily, but if you think about it, like if the Brewers were – full of confidence that Craig Counsell would be managing the team in 2024. Maybe not even full of confidence. If they thought that was the most likely outcome, wouldn't you just, you know, by this point, wouldn't you bring his staff back?
Yeah. But I mean,
I guess you don't have to until October 31st. I would think you would want to.
Right.
To have those spots secured, especially if you like the coaches, also just from like a human standpoint of not, you know, having this big question mark over these people's heads.
Sure. But why is it a revelation that the Brewers wouldn't feel that way, wouldn't feel comfortable that the most likely outcome is that Craig Counsell's coming back? Because I think it's pretty unlikely that he's coming back, or at least I think it'd be fair to read it that way.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to read it that way for sure.
Okay.
I think the reality is dawning. I think the reality is dawning while it was always a possibility. As it approaches, like it just seems like a much more. Maybe it's the exact same amount of possibility as it always was, but now that it's here, it's like
sure.
It just hits at a different level.
Yeah, well, especially when he is actually talking to the New York Mets.
He's talking to the New York Mets.
Yeah, so that's the doomsday scenario that, you know, maybe you or I haven't fully bought into, or I know that's the thing everyone's afraid of. Well, now that's actually a strong possibility.
And I don't think there's anyone that's going to be more afraid of it than the Brewers.
Yeah, because it makes – right. And I think I mentioned this on the last podcast. It's damning to the Brewers. If the guy who was born and raised Wisconsin, mm-hmm. who has spoken about at length about how much he loves this place, and I believe him. I think that's shown to be genuine. He really feels like he's the shepherd of this organization. If he says, well, actually, I want to go to New York now – that there's one of two things there. It's either because they're offering way more money than you are, or it's just – I mean, it's possible that there's a third thing here that he just wants a completely different challenge, but I don't know if I buy that.
I don't buy that.
It's either they're offering more money or I don't like working here.
Yeah, I prefer to work somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like anyone with any job. Like, and I'm still not entirely sure Craig Counsell is going to go to the Mets.
I don't know either. I think it's – it feels like to me it's not an interview. It's a sales job, right? They have to convince him.
There is no reason for him if he's not going to take the extension from the extensions offers. Extension offers from the Brewers, which we've known basically since
– been on the table for a long
since
time.
Since the beginning of the season. Like if you want to play out a lame duck manager season, he was never going to extend before October 31st. If he's not going to do that, it makes no sense to not listen to some other teams. All the leverage is on the manager's side here.
Yes.
When was the last time there was a free agent manager that was this hot ticket of an item?
Well, Joe Maddon maybe. I don't know.
When was he a free agent?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think offhand. I don't know.
But it just doesn't. Like every year, there's hot ticket free agents on the player side, but guys that would generally be considered like the best manager, one of the best managers in baseball. Mm-hmm. So many organizations want that. The Mets need a guy. The Mets have the guy who Stearns, who didn't hire counsel, but effectively they shepherded the organization along together. So it makes all the sense in the world for counsel to take advantage of that. Like, and if you want to get paid what you think you're worth, a fair market value, I would go to the Mets too.
Yeah.
If nothing else, then to get an offer. And bring it back to the Brewers. And here's the other thing that we haven't even mentioned yet. The Milwaukee Brewers have a pretty easy way of making sure that they don't let Craig Counsell go to the Mets. Unless it's true that he just wants out.
Mm-hmm.
Which
just offer him a boatload of money? Is that what you're saying?
Offer him match it, offer him more money,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, they could do that. And to this point, I guess I hadn't even considered that that was a problem, that – you know, I kind of got the feeling Mark Adonazio would offer whatever Craig Counsell required to stay. I didn't think it was necessarily about the money. I guess at some point it could be. I mean, the Mets do have FU money, I believe is the terminology we're looking for. So, like, they definitely
– the Mets have the ability, and not just the ability, the want to,
yes,
to drop exorbitant amounts of money on the table. And the Brewers have not put exorbitant amounts of money on the table yet. I think it is worth saying, though, Counsell – at, you know, in the 2023 season and before that too, has been compensated at a fair market value. He was making a reported $3.5
million mm-hmm.
this year. I don't think there's a manager above $4 million.
There isn't right now.
There isn't right now. There could be an argument that there should be.
Yes.
And that is also one potential underwriting of this whole situation is like this is a chance to elevate the entire market for all managers. You
right.
raise that ceiling and eventually, you know – it's like we see in every other sport.
Yeah.
It trickles down.
Well, here's what's keeping that market depressed to some degree, and I think you would kind of fall in line with this as well as me. Like, there's only a limit to what a manager can bring to a team,
That's another angle of this, yeah.
I think we all agree that Craig Counsell is among the best, if not the best, at his craft. It's kind of – would be great if – well, the manager of the year thing is going to be coming up in November, and it's going to be awfully awkward if Craig Counsell accepts the award. Under the employ of a – also, we haven't quite come to terms that the Brewers and Mets open the season against each other next year.
In New York,
it is the first series of the 2024 yes. season. So mark your calendars for a conflagration. But, as great as Craig Counsell is, he is great. If – I guess like – you know, it's all monopoly money. No one really cares what managers are getting paid. But if the money becomes so exorbitant that it detracts from the on-field product, now that would be on the Brewers, but it could still be – it could be a thing that happens. You don't choose – you choose the players over the manager,
I think so too. But on the same hand, like this is a very unique situation
mm-hmm.
where Craig Counsell is not just Ken Maka. For many reasons.
Well, no.
But, I mean, there's – you just had the hater trade over a year ago. This would be – this would be
just
worse.
As bad. I don't know about worse because you're talking about
– yeah, a free will decision.
It would be bad.
But the free will decision is only so much a free will decision insofar as the Brewers did not offer
– yeah.
Like the decision might be made by the offers.
Well, there's also something, you know, you do have to acknowledge there's a scenario where Craig Counsell just simply wanted to see what was out there and there was nothing the Brewers could do to bring him back, you know, full stop before we got to this point. There's a chance that he just want, you know, there is a chance he's going to New York to hear what they have to say and then ultimately decides to come back to Milwaukee. Like
the
Billy Beam thing from Moneyball,
yep,
you know, that is possible.
Could be a bad fit.
Yeah. Yep. Or just he gets to New York and he decides, I don't want to stay here or whatever. I that's the optimistic read if you're the Brewers fan, I guess.
Yeah, nothing has happened yet.
No.
All we know is in 5-6 days, Craig Counsell will be a free agent.
Yes. And presumably then we will find out pretty quickly. He has said he did not want to drag this out long into the offseason. I actually did think we'd have a resolution by now, but as you pointed out, with the contract ending October 31st.
I think the resolution that we and probably you were looking for was, is he going to manage next year?
Yes.
And I do believe that we've gotten that resolution.
That he's at least interested in managing next year.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. You don't take the meeting if you have no desire to manage.
Probably not. That would be a wild turn of events that I'm not prepared for.
Yeah. This definitely stands in the way of just going to step away.
You don't take the meeting with the Mets.
Right.
Whose sole purpose in this picture is Cash Monet. That is what the Mets represent here.
Yes.
They represent a raise, a significant raise.
Oh, dollar dollar bill, y'all. It's not playing in my head. Thank you for that.
So, yeah, I mean, that's why you take the meeting.
Bob Melvin was just hired by the San Francisco Giants, kind of signed away from the San Diego Padres. He had 2 years with San Diego. Tumultuous is probably too strong, but the ending of his tenure was a little – Josh Hader was part of that. I mean, that team was very talented. They said they were going to bring Bob Melvin back, but he decided to go to San Francisco. That was a guy that I thought could be in the mix if Craig Counsell moved on, who the Brewers could end up approaching. Stephen Vogt is a name that has come up. Cleveland Guardians are supposedly really interested in Stephen Vogt. Now, that's, of course, a former Brewer, very beloved person in the industry of Major League Baseball. He seems like he's going to be a manager somewhere. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the Brewers could be one of those opportunities. I maintain it's a pretty good position. Like, you would think there would be – I mean, there's going to be interest in any Major League opening. You would think that there'd be some pretty good interest here in a team that's probably built to continue contending for the playoffs for the next several years, but – I don't know. I don't know if are there other names right now. Not to put cart before the horse, but if Craig Counsell decides not to come back, anybody that jumps out to you?
I do think it's interesting that Stephen Vogt hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, that's
a name that's going to be inevitably.
There aren't that many openings.
Connected
only
to the
a few.
Brewers, but the Cleveland is
you're
there's,
right.
There's a connection there, and like there's reason to believe that the Guardians are very interested in him as their owner.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how long a team would like. Wait for a guy if that's truly what he's like seeing what all his options are, letting the market sort of play out. But there are just a few like smaller, kind of like add up all these smaller signs and mm-hmm. it infers to an interesting situation where like this Brewers manager question is very wide open. Very wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, there are some names that I suppose we could throw out if you really wanted, like Joe Espada.
Who's a guy. Although Dusty Baker's reportedly done.
There's a really good chance that the bench coach in Houston is also the next head coach or manager in Houston. So that's Espada. He's been up for a lot of different managerial openings. He's interviewed a ton. Just hasn't been offered yet. The Braves had a couple guys. Walt Weiss, who has turned down opportunities to interview. He's a former big league manager. With Colorado, Kevin Seitzer, former Brewer, who's now the hitting coach. He's 61, but he's the hitting coach with the Braves. Freddy Gonzalez, former Braves manager. He's with the Orioles. They obviously had a really good season, the bench coach there. So those are just kind of some names off the top,
Kai Correa from the Giants is a name that's been bench coach.
For sure. And then what about internally? Is there anyone – I know that if you say no to this question, then you are – ultimately giving a value judgment on the people, the personnel already in this organization. So I know it's tough, but is there anyone internally that really jumps out to you as someone that they might promote to the managerial position?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's not so much like a statement on the coaching staff that they have. I just don't think that it's like a group that's in a spot to – there's no obvious – managerial step-in candidate. There's some interesting options for sure, like Chris Hook, but I think Chris Hook as a pitching coach is just like
right.
so good.
Well, it feels like pitching coach is where you can actually make the most impact on
yes,
a team.
I believe that to be true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Murphy, who's a bench coach. He's been in baseball a long time, but he's kind of just tied with Counsell.
Tied to Counsell, yeah.
In fact, it honestly would not surprise me if he became the New York Mets bench coach, if that were how this transpired. Rick Sweet, who's been in AAA forever. He's 71 years old, so he's obviously in the I guess later end of his coaching career, but you know, he's somebody that's very beloved in the organization.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go much younger, there's like Carlos Villanueva, Walker McKinvin,
Victor Esteves, the Carolina Mudcats manager. Yeah. But he's just
managing in Double A though, or single A.
That's a very far jump to make that I don't see happening.
Definitely a rising star.
His name, in future discussions for sure.
Yeah. Well, we will obviously we can't really like think too much about names because Craig Counsell is still my first choice as a certain team owner once said or has said in post game. Was it him or was it Matt Arnold who said the first choice? I think maybe it was Matt Arnold who said that.
I don't know which said it, but both have been very, very adamant. And you see like kind of the way the Brewers are playing this. They're not saying anything. Especially like what I mentioned, the Mets are leaking so much.
Yeah.
Brewers aren't saying anything. Doesn't take too much, you know, reading into that to see like they
don't know.
They don't know and they don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
They want him here and that's what they're going to say. But the other thing that has been said, like this is just more aggregated from conversations with baseball people, with Brewers people, is no one thought the Mets was like a real possibility.
Really? Even as everyone on Brewers Twitter immediately connected those dots.
I think just from like a person stand, like a, you know, the ties to Milwaukee, the difference in the job, I think a lot of people assumed if Counsell was going to be back and the Brewers were willing to pay, which is still the big wild card here,
right.
that he'll be back in Milwaukee. So that's sort of still what I'm leaning back on if they are willing
to pay. Yeah.
But the getting to this point is an indication that probably Counsell would be willing to go to that market. Now, maybe it's a bluff. Maybe this is all a leverage play to get an offer.
Yeah.
We don't know.
And if we're talking raw dollars again, $6 million or whatever, like which sounds like a crazy amount relative to what other managers are getting paid. That's a utility infielder, right? I mean,
especially over like what you're going, you were already paying him $3.5 million.
Right.
Like you're going to pay a manager.
It's an arbitration raise.
Yes.
How did that go for them last time when they were in the arbitration process? Wild stuff. I mean, I absolutely am imagining him being named manager of the year while already on the payroll of somebody else. That's now floating through my brain.
I still think in the back of my head it works out with the Brewers, but none of the news that's come out today, nothing that I've heard from people talking to people today has been like confidence instilling in that.
Yeah.
There's a wrench thrown into this. It's I think there's a lot of people preparing for the possibility he's not there.
Yeah.
But then again, at the end of the day, JR, if the checkbook is blank.
Yeah, well, we will probably know within the course of maybe 10 days, I have to think. I don't think this is going to linger much longer than November 1st. But obviously there will be a lot to discuss at that point. There hasn't been much other news in Brewers land since we last chatted. One interesting thing. Eric Lauer is now a free agent. He's elected free agency. The Brewers and Eric Lauer part ways. I think it's kind of a – this is a guy who started game four of the NLDS in 2021. Like he was a key member of their rotation for multiple years. And I feel like we kind of just stopped talking about him this year. He had a really weird season, had some injuries, kind of – fell off the map for a little while, like wasn't pitching in the minors. You know, I think there was some questions about how hurt he was. Like, you know, like he felt he had an injury that they couldn't really pinpoint or diagnose. And it seems like that created some tension there. I don't know. He ended up, he only appeared in 10 games for the Brewers this season. What do you make of the Eric Lauer tenure? I mean, he was here four seasons and was a starting pitcher. Like he made, I don't know, like 55 starts or something like that for the Brewers.
Interesting. Like the guy himself. Eric Lauer is an interesting guy.
He is, yes.
And the up and down trajectory of his Brewers tenures doesn't surprise me all that much. A talented guy who's maybe not the most, you know, it's not like Corbin Burns stuff.
No.
It's who kind of figured it out. And then when things went off the rails, couldn't get it back on.
Yeah.
Even like at the start of last year, you could kind of see some of the
Yeah,
some of the groundwork being laid.
His 2021 season is seemingly an outlier. 3.19 ERA, 7-5 record. He had 117 strikeouts to 41 walks in 118 innings. Solid numbers, but it felt like that was maybe not – that was a little better than you might normally anticipate from him based on the stuff, based on the profile.
There was a period there, like early in 2022, where it carried over from that 2021 season,
mm-hmm.
and he was striking everybody out. Remember that Sunday night game against the Phillies?
Oh, yeah, like a 1-0 game.
Struck out like
– I think Zach Wheeler?
A dozen or something.
Is that the game where Angel Hernandez yes. and Kyle Schwarber got into a shouting match on ESPN?
He did receive some nice calls from the Angel.
Oh, Angel.
But still, at the end of the day, he shut that Phillies lineup up for like 7 innings, 12 strikeouts or something. And
yeah.
it was just like, this might be who Eric Lauer is. And it was not
no.
who Eric Lauer is. So just a kind of a funky way to end a funky tenure with the Brewers and a funky trade.
Let's go back to this trade. This trade has been much discussed over the years to review. This is late 2019. The pandemic is about to descend on us. We don't know that yet. And Eric Lauer is acquired from the San Diego Padres along with Luis Urias, another guy that they kind of unceremoniously parted with after he was kind of a big part of their picture. Super interesting. In exchange for Zach Davies and Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham had a tremendous 2020 season. That is the 60-game season. He was very good for the Padres. Ultimately, he has not been able to maintain that success. He has been a below-average big leaguer, solid defender, but just not any. There's nothing there offensively. Davies was then traded to acquire Yu Darvish. He was part of the trade to acquire Yu Darvish. So the Padres ultimately come out ahead because, A, Trent Grisham is like a starting center fielder for them for the last couple of years, for better or worse. I think mostly a net negative, but like he's a starter. And then Zach Davies is part of a package to get Yu Darvish, who unquestionably has been very good for them and got them to an NLCS, which, if you're the Brewers, that would be a tremendous benchmark. That might be disappointing to the Padres who have all this talent, but getting to the NLCS is pretty dang good. That was a really good season for them. So ultimately, I think San Diego kind of wins the trade. We've gone back and forth on this. When Eric Lauer was really good and Urias was hitting the ball very well, it was like, oh, we thought that the Brewers lost this trade, but in actuality, they won it, and now it's, I don't know, it feels like it's kind of a wash.
It's a wash. I'm not sure anyone won.
Well,
Trent Grisham's been fine since that great 2020 season he had, though. WRC plus of 104 and 21.
Okay.
84 and 22 and 91 last year.
Okay, well, 104, that's a little better than I thought he was.
That's
then.
Good.
Yeah.
The defense is solid. He's been worth about 8 wins on according to FanGraphs, 4 years with the Padres.
With the 2020, okay.
That's
fine.
That's not like – that's replaceable.
Is that better than Luis Urias?
For sure.
I bet it is.
Probably better than Luis Urias, yeah. Yes.
And
Luis Urias didn't have a 2.3 war in 2020.
People won't remember this because ultimately it does not matter. But Trent Grisham hit a home run against the San Francisco Giants in 2020. After the Padres were like dead in the water, he hits a 3-run homer to beat the Giants. And that was huge. This is the last weekend of the season. That ultimately was a win that had to happen for the Brewers to get into the playoffs. Otherwise, the Giants get in over them. So,
a very
if you care,
meaningful playoff.
Meaningful, yes. If you care at all about the Brewers making the 2020 playoffs, and I strongly doubt anyone listening does, that is a outcome that works in the Brewers' favor.
Yeah, it's hard to see this trade as anything but a wash right now.
At best,
the Brewers did get great 2021 years from Lauer and Urias
mm-hmm.
on one of the better teams in franchise history. That is valuable. So is having, Trent Grisham as center field depth, although I don't think – if you ask the Brewers, this may be the way to phrase it. If you ask the Brewers, do you miss Trent Grisham as your everyday center fielder? Do you wish he was your everyday center fielder? The answer would be no.
Yes.
So it was a trade. It happened. It kind of is just fizzled out for everybody. Nobody turned out to be like a real, real difference maker. Outside of being a decent player for a while.
I think Urias is about worth 6.3 wins, so, a little bit south of what Trent Grisham was during his tenure with the Milwaukee Brewers. Bummer of a situation for Urias because I really kind of had high hopes for him. He's a much smaller guy, so maybe the odds were stacked against him specifically when they felt they had to move him to third base. It kind of always felt like second base was where he really belonged, at least initially. So that might... That's a bit of a missed opportunity maybe there. I don't know. It just didn't work out with him, and then he pulls his hamstring on the season opener. He misses a good chunk of the season. He comes back, but isn't here very long. It just isn't. It just didn't work out. It did not work out for Luis Urias. And now they're very much in the market for a third baseman or a first baseman, whatever. Anything on the corners, yes. They will need that. Jackson Chourio is on the cover of Baseball America this week. That was also tweeted out on Wednesday. That's kind of cool. I still feel like there's a chance they put him on this roster to start the year. I know that makes no sense because they have a million outfielders. It would require there to be some moves or some injuries for them to have fewer outfielders.
There's going to be an intense spring training
battle. Yes, between
Chourio and Chris Roller.
I can't believe you. You were dedicated to adding Chris Roller to this podcast.
We got it in.
The newest member of the 40-man
roster.
We
got it in. The Brewers made a move.
Yeah. This happens every year. People get added on the fringes of the 40-man roster. And yes, there will come a point where he is a part of the equation, but
maybe.
No one needs to worry.
He could also get DFA'd.
Yeah, no one needs to worry about that. Adolis Garcia was acquired and then DFA'd before the start of the season once in 2021 by the Texas Rangers. He is now ALCS MVP.
You have a 40-man spot for a guy now. You don't want to lose him. You might not have the 40-man spot in 3 months from now. We'll see. I mean, maybe he'll be here. Maybe he won't.
Indeed. One last thing I want to discuss. William Contreras throwing out the eye emojis. What is going on?
He was tweeting about Giannis's extension.
He was not. This happened.
He was tweeting
Saturday,
about Chris Roller.
Saturday morning, William Contreras tweets the eye emojis, which of course got everyone a flutter, wondering, is it an extension for William Contreras? Is it a roster move? Like, because Carlos Santana has since tweeted a picture of him, you know, like bumping fists with members of the Brewers. Like, is Carlos Santana coming back? It seems like there was news or possibility, or maybe he's just messing with us all.
Maybe people just read entirely too much into what players post on social media.
Is it possible that it's just in his pocket, like it was a pocket tweet with that particular emoji? I don't think so.
No.
I feel like Giannis did that before his last extension, before he signed the Supermax. Like there was something out a few days beforehand, and everyone was like, oh, whoa, big news, and then nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then it turned out maybe that was actually what happened. You know, I don't know if it was Giannis, but David Bakhtiari, I think, did this, where he had posted something like that. People were like, oh, what's going on? But, you know, since he's very online, no one really thought too much about it. And then a few days later, the extension gets announced, and people go back like, oh, that's the moment he signed. So
well,
maybe that's
people
still
were reading into everything Giannis did before that. Not the most recent extension, the one before that.
Yeah.
Like, there was videos of him in a car.
Yeah.
Is he driving downtown?
I remember
Are there any pens?
I was sitting – this is in December of 2020 when he signed that extension. I was sitting because this is the height of COVID. I think somebody in my family had it or something. I'd been exposed to it or whatever. So I was getting groceries but had them delivered to my car. And I was sitting there in the parking stall checking my phone and found the news. The news came through, Giannis announcing it himself, just like he did on this most recent extension. And I remember like telling the guy who was loading my car with groceries, like, Giannis is coming back. He's extended. And thinking the guy would be all into it. And he was like, oh, okay.
Who?
He did not say who. Knew who Giannis was. He did not share my enthusiasm with the moment, but
that's good. What percentage of people that live in Milwaukee County do you think know who Giannis is?
Oh my gosh, that's an interesting question.
It's got to be over 90%, right? Like we're talking like age,
well,
18 and above.
That's a really hard question because we spend so much time in the sports loving community, sports knowledgeable community.
We do.
I mean, just that's who we interact with. That's who we write for.
A little bit.
So it doesn't – maybe it's – I don't think it's very easy for us to really grasp how much of an alternate community there is out there. I mean, you go through all these studies for stadium financing and things like that and the number of people who oppose this because they don't care about sports.
Yeah, but we're not asking them to name Mike Brasso.
No, but they should. They should name Mike Brasso. Big fan of Mike Brasso. I miss him. No, I agree, especially because Giannis has an unusual name that makes him perhaps a little more notable than the average person.
He won a championship.
His face is on a lot of things.
I think it's 90%.
I would not go that high, actually. I don't know. I don't know, Kurt.
We should find out. We have the resources to do so.
What percentage of people can spell his name without thinking about it? I think it's probably like 30% at least.
I think that's too high.
Yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts on the Milwaukee Brewers now that we've dovetailed out of here?
Yeah, you did mention they need a third baseman, right?
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Mike Brasso's name.
Come on home, Mike Brasso.
New connecting dots.
Did he go to the KBO or did he go?
No, he went to Japan. It did not. It did not go well.
No, it didn't. No. I didn't. I haven't looked any of that.
No,
up.
I don't know what the final numbers were or are. But there was a point where he got sent down to the minor league.
What happened to him? He was good, man.
JPBL or whatever it's called.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was good last year.
He led the Cactus League in home runs this year.
So he was good early this year too.
Well,
something happened
very early this year.
Yes, like very early. Pre
this year.
That's too bad. Mike Bross was an all-time great guy.
Great
Love
guy.
That guy. Wish him the best. Hope he finds a foothold somewhere, whether it's in Japan or the United States. Maybe he is 3 years removed from being the next Eric Thames.
Maybe he'll be with the Mets.
Well,
Craig Counsell's left-handed hitting third baseman of choice.
Mike Brasso is a right-handed hitter, is he not?
No, but left-handed pitcher hitting.
Got it.
Lefty lineup.
Okay, well, that's going to add even more excitement to the season opening series in 2024. Craig Counsell, David Stearns, Mike Brasso facing off against their old team. Omar Narvaez will probably be back at that point because they signed him to a multi-year deal, so he's going to be back, I think, for another round. And Daniel Vogelbach, who I can't imagine they would get rid of, no matter how many great superstars they get on that team. He's too precious.
All right. I'll put you on the spot before we finish.
Okay. This is fun.
You have to answer. Life depends on it.
No, I don't.
Where's Craig Counsell? If you had to answer, if your life depends on it. Your life doesn't depend on it, JR.
Where's Craig Counsell right now?
I'm not threatening your life. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
But if I was.
I wasn't worried.
But if I was, where's Craig Counsell going to be next year?
Managing the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right.
I would previously, and I've said this over and over, that he would be not managing, that he's not doing anything. Because I thought that was where we were headed. I don't feel that way anymore. So I will say managing the Milwaukee Brewers.
I want to agree with you. I just can't stop thinking about the New York leaks. Like, they do this thing, and they did it with Stearns, and it worked out for them.
Mm. That's true.
It just feels similar in spite of like months of Brewers people being like, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think it's going to happen.
We will be back to talk more about it on Microbrew when we know a little bit more. And so you can expect to hear from us, I don't know, apparently somewhat regularly. I didn't think we'd be doing this podcast already. So maybe we'll be back a little more than I think here in the offseason. Enjoy the World Series. The Arizona Answerbacks, they are 9 times, Kurt, they've been to the playoffs, the Milwaukee Brewers. And every time the team that beats them winds up in the World Series, that is quite the thing, especially when you're considering like the Dodgers in 2020, the Nationals, and now the Diamondbacks. I've had multiple series.
It's been a thing the entire franchise history, but really it's been a thing since 2019.
Yes.
Wild card.
And they've all won the World Series.
Divisional round against a team that didn't even win 90 games.
Right. They've all won the World Series.
Wild card that won 84 games.
Yeah. It's been weird, right? Like, you can't really – we do rope in 2011, 2018 – Or 2011 and 82, 81 even, like the Yankees had to win another series before they got to the World Series.
Yeah.
Teams are 9-0 after beating the Brewers in series before the World Series. So there have been 9 different series that these teams have had to win. So obviously that doesn't include like 82 because that was the World Series, or 2011 or 2018 where those teams were in the championship series already. So that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. All right, Kurt, let's get out of here. Thanks for chatting with me, man. You've been listening to Microbrew. Hope you enjoyed it. He's Kurt Hoag. I'm JR Radcliffe. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.